Joining us this morning, El Paso County Sheriff Bill Elder is here. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, you guys.
It's good to see you.
You too.
Thanks so much for coming in, as always. And, yep. Of course, we need to start with the investigation into the Devon Bailey shooting. It is state law that if there is an officer-involved shooting, another agency investigates that shooting, correct?
Yeah, you have to have members of other agencies involved, right?
And some are saying that this investigation is very difficult because of the close relationship between CSPD and El Paso County Sheriff's Office.
You know, I don't think it's difficult at all. This is the 24th one we've done. We are close, but so are every other agency in the state. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got friends that work all over the state. So does my undersheriff. And so I don't know that we're any closer than anywhere else, but, people get to say what they get to say.
Sure.
We did it by the book.
Do you have any comments about, were you concerned when the governor came out with a statement about that wanting a different investigation?
No, we followed the law. The law that was put in place a few years ago. We followed the law. We will continue to follow the law. It's the same one that we followed for the last 24 officer-involved shootings, involving CSPD. Same law they followed when, in the ones that we've been engaged in and Fountain and others. And so, it's the law, and we'll follow the law.
Now, is the investigation completed as far as your office is concerned?
Our office has completed the work that we're going to do. We've got some forensic stuff that's got to be turned over to the district attorney as part of their factors and how they weigh in. But the interviews and the things that we needed to do are all completed, and we've turned everything over to them.
Okay. So now we're waiting on Dan May to see where he's going to go next.
Right. This is a team. It's called the Deadly Force Investigations Team. That's what's comprised. It's made up of members from all over the region. And that team is the ones that gathers the information. It is headed by the sheriff's office when it's a CSPD shooting, and by CSPD when it's anybody else. So that's why. But it's team members from all over the region. So, we're proud of the work we do. It is hard, hard work, and obviously a difficult topics.
Yeah.
But it's necessary for the transparency. So,
and I tell you what, watching the body cam video that was released, it shows me the importance of deputies and police officers having body cam video, because you get to see what's happening in real time.
Right, right, and It still doesn't take away from the interviews, the discussion that goes on with people, not only in this instance, but in all of them, and in every contact with law enforcement, whether there's a body cam or not. The body cam is just one of those other tools that we are using at this point. Mm-hmm. They are not cheap. And, that's the other piece.
One unit costs.
Well, and the cost of the unit is one thing. The maintenance on the unit is another thing. But the big piece is the storage and the maintenance of the data that is provided. And so that's the huge topic that a lot of people don't understand. It's not like, you could take your cell phone, shoot video of 8 hours a day, every day, that you're at work, and then download that and maintain it and pick off little bits and pieces that you need for this piece of evidence or that piece of evidence. It would not take long before your cell phone was full, right? So now you got to store it somewhere else. It's just a big project. Bigger the agency, the bigger the project.
Right, right. Okay, Sheriff, we do need to move forward, because this is also a very important topic and conversation for you. We have talked about it on the extra. You've talked about it when you've come in the mornings before, and it's a conversation about mental health. And of course, El Paso County Sheriff's Office has Beacon now,
right?
The Beacon team, which goes out and helps community members that may be showing signs, instead of a criminal activity, it's more of a mental health crisis, correct?
Right. And we have hundreds of those calls every year. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to do the same thing that Colorado Springs' crisis intervention team is doing, or crisis response team is doing, and that is to intervene in the justice process by not always taking people in mental health crisis to jail. Less than 2% of the people that we've been contacting by our Beacon team have needed to go to jail. What that does is it reduces the load on our jail, which is, we've hit record highs. And so what it does is it also gets them into meaningful treatment, and that's part of the whole process is get our citizens into treatment rather than into incarceration.
But this is a continuing community conversation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, ongoing, so folks understand, and again, a process in growing and learning.
Exactly. You know, and we're learning that the traditional models that are used throughout the country and, you know, in almost every jurisdiction in the state are not always the best models. And so we're working to try and find gaps in services. We're trying to find better ways to do things. I'm specifically working to try and find a way to provide mental health treatment in the jail that has a continuum of care that reaches out into the facility so that when someone is released after we've spent however time they're in the facility getting treated for mental illness.
They're not just dropped.
You know, yeah. Hey, you're done. See you down the road. We're trying to get a continuum of care that has a warm handoff into a community-based program. It's an interesting process. You know, government moves at the speed of snails, and so it's just kind of tough sometimes to get these things accomplished.
So just keep that conversation going, right?
Yeah, you know, and we're engaged everywhere we can. We're sending a team down to Miami. Next week, I think. It's really an important mission that they're going to be on. Miami has a project that is exactly like what I've just been talking about, and it works really well. Mm. But it's going to require bringing together big numbers of the community and public-private partnerships. But if we can do that and we can have the kind of successes that they've had, we can have a model for Colorado and maybe for the Western United States, because I think that there's only a few of these that have worked as well as that one. And so I'll be excited to hear after this team gets back. There's two members of my agency that are going down. My mental health coordinator and my chief of staff. And then there's a number of people from Denver and a group called the Equitas Project that are going to fly down and look at this, because they've been so successful.
We'll continue with Sheriff Bill Elder in a moment. It is approaching 7:44 on KRDO's Morning News.
Okay, and this morning, we are talking with El Paso County Sheriff Bill Elder. Sheriff, we are coming on really the last last 3-day holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend. We know lots of folks are off, and that also means that El Paso County Sheriff's Office teaming up with the state and other agencies for increased traffic enforcement this weekend.
Right. Saturation Saturday.
Is that this Saturday? Okay.
Absolutely. You know, we've outfitted our patrol vehicles with red ribbons in honor of victims and survivors of impaired driving. We've got a bunch of extra patrols on the road. This is a statewide push. So, you know, the thing that I want drivers to remember is impaired driving is 100% preventable.
Yeah.
It always is preventable. You can encourage drivers to call Uber or, you know, another rideshare thing, but it's free to not drive sober. But if you drive, or it's free to drive sober, it's not free to drive impaired. And if you drive impaired, and we arrest you.
And you get caught.
You get caught and we arrest you. It's going to run you $12,000 to $15,000.
I was going to say, I thought it was like, yeah.
$12,000 to $15,000, right? And I can tell you the push is on. This is a big weekend. We get it. Everybody wants to celebrate Labor Day. Do it sober or get a rideshare or we're going to arrest you.
And again, you guys are teaming up with multiple agencies, aren't you? Including CDOT, State Patrol, CSP, everybody.
Exactly. Every agency in the region has got extra patrols on, and we're taking it very seriously.
We talked about this, I believe, last time you were here about you basically have reactivated the traffic enforcement unit. How's that going?
It's going great. The number of summonses is through the roof.
Really, for the speeding and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, and it's helping in our school zones because. That people just for whatever reason, every single day at almost every school zone, somebody goes blasting through and they're riding some crazy speeds in school zones. And these are school zones with kids present, with buses stopped, people running the stop signs on buses. Just pay attention. It cannot be that big of a deal for you to get a minute down the road that you're willing to put some kid's life at risk.
So right.
Slow down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
All right, Sheriff, good to catch up with you. Happy Labor Day weekend, and
you too.
We will see you in September.
I appreciate that. Sober driving.
751, KRDO's Morning News.